Thank you. Thank you, let the Lord, that we can come together to the Word. We ask you, Lord, that you open our mind and you quicken our hearts to receive your Word and to plant it in there, Lord, and to start using it and start working it out so that we, Lord, can be transformed and empowered by it. In Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, let me go and went around here. I don't want to. That's a bit better. Okay. Becoming who we are. We're going to continue on this, as this is probably one of the most critical understanding for us to have. If we cannot see ourselves the way we are going to be doing things the way we think we are. And that sometimes is not the right way, because we had to, you know, we had to learn to think the way God thinks. We had to learn to see ourselves the way God sees us. But you know, that's another easy thing to do. And the reason why it's not an easy thing to do is because the way we learn things, we learn by experience. We learn by things we are exposed to. And so as a consequence of that, when we are born again, when we open up and start moving into the kingdom, we have not any way to assess or determine and understand the things around us. It's like we are in an alien country, of which we don't know the language and we don't know the way to do things. You know, we had to learn from being babies and grow up. And that process, it's not easy to do because it's contrary to our logic. See, our logic is used to think in terms of, the way what we learned before then produces the basis for understanding new things. But what we learned before we were born again is all wrong. There is nothing that we got before that was right. So the whole thing has to be discarded, or the way we look at things, the way we think, we had to throw away everything. And there is a big consequence of that. And you can see it in people when they come to the Lord. See, the people that make fast progress when they come to the Lord are the ones that were really messed up before. And the reason is because they hate the life that they had before. And unless you hate what you got before, you are going to hold on to it. And what you have to do is to die to that, to be able to move into the new dimension. Jesus said it many times, Paul said it many times. And so, you know, we have to understand how this process happens and how we are going to be able to move into the kingdom and to be able to be kingdom's people. But, you know, if this is an experience that many of you may already have had. You know, if there is a sin that you, after you're born again, it will keep dragging you down. Two things can happen. One thing is that you give up and say, okay, well, you know, that's no big deal, and you fool yourself. The other one is you get so fed up that when you start hitting it, then you make a decision to change. Very simple. So you don't break sin or any bondage by just going easy. You have to make a decision. And you had to start with it, and you had to stick with it, and you had to be mad at it. Mad at yourself, mad to the devil, mad to everything. I don't want this anymore. I'm fed up with it. Unless you get fed up, you stay with it. So the people that move fast generally are the ones that they have nothing to hold on. When you have an easy life, a good life, and everything else, and you come to the Lord, you are not too motivated to take this step. Now, that's a problem, because you can see, you know, Christian, after being Christian for 50 years, they're still baby Christian. When instead, that should not be the natural thing, the way it should be. You know, what we should do is to move on quickly, because it's so much better when we break loose. And we have to understand that we should be able to see and see ourselves that we are babies. The thing is, many of these people don't see it even, because they have been Christian for 50 years. You see, my life is pretty clean. Big deal, still fleshy, still carnal. You see, maturity means that you are not carnal anymore. You don't think anymore the way people think. You are not anymore a normal person. If you are normal, you haven't got it. Because you are not called to be normal. We are called to be a peculiar people. I mean, strange. The world should look at us and say, what's the matter with them? Okay? Because we think differently. We work differently. We act differently. See, if you really are different, it should come out from your behavior. Because unless the change took place inside, it cannot take place outside. Okay. I can keep going forever here, so I better. So one understanding, God's plan for us, is to grow into Jesus. This is God's plan for us, and God put everything in place for us to be able to do that. And if you think that is kind of pie in the sky, then you haven't got it either. Because this should be the basic thing that the believer does once they connect with the Lord. Because this is what the Lord puts in your heart. That's what God's plan is. You know, beloved, if you are now, we are the sons of God, and does not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. You know, this scripture, we should really put it in our heart, meditate on it, and allow it to change the way we see ourselves. It says, now you are. It's not that we are going to be sometime in the future. See, when we read the Bible, we have to be very careful to the tenses. Because the tenses shows us the way we had to look at things. And we had to look at when these things were said. Because what the environment, what took place before and what takes place after is important. Because the same thing has not the same meaning when it's said at a different time. Excuse me. And you see, they says when one of the things that the Lord is going to impress us when we get closer to the Lord is that what comes in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, and you know that the unrighteousness will not inherit the kingdom. So you cannot get into the kingdom with unrighteousness. 1 Corinthians 6:9. Okay? And this is, you know, then list there all the things that are going to stop us, that make us unrighteous. And these are all the works of the flesh. So the work of the flesh are the works that the carnal believer does. That means it's ruled by the things that were in him before. And we're going to see there are some scriptures that are so powerful to motivate us to change. And what the whole thing is brought about is by the washing of the Word. The Word comes to us and shows us and points out the things that we do that are actually works of the flesh. And those things need to be dealt with because those are going to be hindering us from getting into the kingdom. See, we can't do those things. And I'm going to, you know, you can read them there in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. You can read it in, Galatians chapter 5. You know, they're everywhere. And so many times in Romans, you know. And we had to realize that when the Word deals with us and shows us that some of the things we do are works of the flesh, we have to do something. There's not a choice that we can say, well, you know, it's not unimportant. No, when that's the time when we get to see, when we start seeing it, that's the time we have to act, because there is a consequence of not acting at that time. And the consequence is that these things become stronger in us and they become sin. Before, you may have not known. You know, when you go get born again, you have not a clue what you're doing. But if you, the Lord is working with you, and you start, you know, one of the first things that's going to happen. You know, nobody should tell you. You should know it, you know, if you just listen just a little bit to your heart. The first thing you do is you buy yourself a Bible and you start reading the Bible. And that's going to start working in you. Start working and starting pointing out. Look at that. You do that. No, no. And, you know, the way is not the way the Old Testament did and the old, you know, the religion says, oh, you know, just did that. God is there going to smash you. That's not the way it works. You know, we are in a period of grace. Period of grace doesn't mean that you can do whatever you want to do. It means that, you know, when you realize that you are wrong, you can fix yourself. And God is going to help you to do that instead of, you know, cutting you off and blasting you. But he expects you to change. You know, a child can mess himself up. And, you know, parents should change their diapers up to a certain time. If by the time they are 5 years old, the problem is either with the child or with the parent. Probably more with the parent. Okay? The consequence of this applies spiritually 100%. Okay? Both about parents and children. But I'm not going to go into that. That has to do with church business. You know what I mean. All right. So, what we have to do is to get to the place. If we get instruction, you hear from the Word. You see, the Word in itself is just, you read it and you don't apply yourself, nothing happens. You have to hear the Word and apply it to yourself, and it's going to point out. You see, the Word should show you the way you should look. And the way it shows you is you should look like Jesus looks. Not physically, okay, but everywhere else, spiritually. So when you find out that you are not that way, then there is something you have to do. And this is this finding out is the work of the Holy Spirit, that when you, as you're reading, you know, and you are at that place, you start seeing those things. See, the Word was written by the Holy Spirit through the person that received it, but it's going to be rewritten inside you as you read it, and the Holy Spirit quickens to you the truth. But when it quickens to you the truth, two things can happen. Okay, you say, ouch. And if you are in the flesh, you're going to go around flagellating yourself and doing nothing. Or if you are in the Spirit, say, I have to do something, and you are going to change. And God, you go to God, and God helps you to make the changes, to make those decisions. Okay? And this is why it's called the Spirit of Truth, the Holy Spirit. You see, the Spirit of Truth, because bring out the truth about yourself and about the whole world. But it's also called the Holy Spirit. And there is a reason why it's called the Holy Spirit, because one of the results is going, that truth is going to make you holy. That means separated. And it says there, you know, in John chapter 16, you know, it will take what is mine and announce it to you. You know, we think the Holy Spirit is there to us to tell us every little step that we have to do. Well, we don't need that. We don't need to hear actually voices and things that say visions to do the right thing. Now, when they come, fine, but they are not, you know, voices and visions, they are not necessarily from God. So to be able to move in that dimension, you better know what you're doing. But one thing is sure, that is a good reference that you cannot mess it up and you cannot be wrong, is the word. And it's given to everybody. So we all, you know, God spoke to us through his word. So we had to go to his word to receive what he's saying. Then we can, you know, start worrying about the other stuff if it's necessary, because God is not going to do just, he's not going to repeat himself. He doesn't need to repeat himself. See, God says one thing once and it's done. He says, let there be light. He doesn't need every morning go around and turn on the switch. Hello? It's light. It's there. You know, he's created the laws that regulate the universe. Doesn't need to be there making sure that, he's jumping from the roof. Now I'm going to make him fall down. He made the law of gravity. It's one of the physical laws that he made. You know, he doesn't need to look after it. It looks after itself. The same things are the spiritual things that he did. See, God does. You know, on the sixth day, he just started to rest. Now, this is not completely true, because there is a component in which he's still participating in the process. But most of the stuff, he doesn't need to do anything, because it was done already. He has done it. Like, you know, our healing. Jesus was whipped on the post, died on the thing. I mean, doesn't need to die every time that something happened. He's done it forever. So he died once for all. He was healed. He took our sickness, our diseases for all. So we don't need to be there turning the switch on to make sure that you get healed. Hello? We have to turn the switch on within ourselves to receive what he has done. See, we have the part. We have to understand and realize what is our part and what is God's part. What he has done and is finished, and what has to be done yet and need to be done. See, one of the things that he has let us to do is to go and preach the gospel to every creature. That evidently isn't finished, because look at the world. All right? So that part, he didn't do it, and he didn't do it because he trusted us to do it. And he charged us, he commanded us, he gave us the commission to do it. You know, people, I find it ridiculous when, you know, you talk to somebody and say, when did you go witnessing, you witness to people? So, oh, I don't feel it, that's my ministry. And the reaction I have is, did you read the Bible? The fact that you feel that you don't feel about that, that's your ministry, doesn't make any impact at all with God. He said it, and that was it. And if you don't do it, you are in disobedience. Hello? Ouch. All right. I don't know. I didn't know I was going to go into these things today, but that's fine. Yeah, I've been into the Word the last few days. I get charged up. You know the way Wesley, you know, the impact that he had on all the UK and North America, you know, and they was interviewed by this journalist. They said, how do you do to get these people just coming to you, some such a big crowds? You know what he said? Well, I put myself in fire and they come to see me. Amen. That's the way. All right. Okay. So, we had to learn to hear Jesus' instructions and understand what he has done in us when we were born again. That, I think, is the major problem with most people. The day they are born again, they have experienced that, you know, transition from being an unbeliever to a believer to a Christian, but they do not understand what actually took place. And because, you see, when you're born again, something happened, okay? Your spirit, and we're going to read this scripture, maybe, yeah. Your spirit, the old spirit, is finished. You have a new spirit inside you, okay? But your body and your mind, they are exactly the same way as they were before. No change took place. The change that took place there, you had to make it happen. God is not going to change it. It's you. It's one of those things that God did up to a certain point, and then it's up to you to receive. Salvation is the same thing. I mean, you know, you had to accept Jesus as your Lord, accept what is, you know, his death on the cross, it was for you, that was for, you know, the whole ideas there, the whole logos concerning the forgiveness of our sins, the fact that we're sinners, and then the spiritual event takes place that our heart or our spirit is regenerated and we are new creatures. Okay? But very seldom you see any actual impact or changes on your mind and on your body. If you were sick, often very seldom people get sick, healed, unless, you know, the message that they got is complete, included salvation and healing and everything else. But that involves people that are already getting to a place of understanding. Okay? You can only receive what you understand. If you don't know that God wants to save you, you can't get saved. If you don't know that God wants to heal you, you cannot get healed. If you don't know that God wants to be, you know, your behavior has to change, you're not going to change your behavior and then you're going to lose everything. Okay? Let me go and read the scripture. I'm not following my notes as usual. And that's good. Okay. Now, generally, 2 Corinthians 5:17 is always started to read, people start to read from there when they preach about it. And really, I believe that's a mistake. Because the scripture, you know, every scripture that says important thing comes in a context. So there are things that are said before and things that are said after that are just as important as the important issue that you want to explain. So instead of starting from 2 Corinthians 5:17, we start reading a bit before in 2 Corinthians 5:10. I mean, they're pretty close together, so, you know, if somebody's writing or reading, you know, there's a logic progression. So there says, and we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. See, there are lots of people that believe that once you are born again, you are off the hook. I mean, it doesn't matter what you do, especially in this modern Christianity, doesn't matter what you do, once you are born again, you know, actually the whole world, for some of them, even more crazy, you know, has been saved because Jesus died for all world, and that's what the Bible says. Well, big results, look at the world. Okay, evidently, it's a lie. Okay? There is a part you play. The part you play is that you have to receive him. He said, those who receive him will make them the children of God. It's not just everybody becoming a child of God. No, the Bible is very clear. What is not born of God is born of the devil. So either you are a son of God, or a child of God, or you are a child of the devil. Period. I can show you scripture saying that exactly. Okay? So, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. That means even Christians. All, you know what A-L-L means? All. That means everybody. It doesn't exclude anybody. All right? Okay, that each one, again, that's a repeat that makes it even stronger, you know, may receive the things done in the body according to that which he has done, whether good or bad. So the false security that lots of people have, well, you know, I just accepted Jesus, I am not going to go in front of the, you know, the judgment seat of Christ, is completely unbased, because they, you know, say, can you read the scripture? See, the thing is, the covering of the sins that we have committed is because we have repented of them. When we have repented of them and have done the things that are involved in what the Bible says that we have to do, then yes, for those things have been taken care of. But all the other things that the other we rebelled, or we didn't want to listen, or we haven't, you know, those things we had to give account. Okay? And we are going to be rewarded or having negative consequences according to what you have done. That's the law of sowing and reaping. Now, praise God that what Jesus did, you know, eliminates lots of problems. I mean, the big stuff should be gone. All right? But the thing is, you cannot read the following scriptures without having read this one that was actually the introduction to the topic. Then you can start reading 2 Corinthians 5:17. And there it says, you know, very, very interesting what it says there. Therefore, if anyone, how many are anyone? Are you included in that? Yes. All right. So, is in Christ. You know, what does it mean that you is in Christ? You know, that means that you are in union with him. You are lining up yourself with him. You are accepting what his point of view, you're accepting his ideas, you're accepting his teaching, you're accepting what he commands you to do. And so the blood of Jesus' work covered your sins. See, it's part of the covenant agreement. And this is, you know, the next Friday, you know, appropriating or you know, the new covenant or experiencing the new covenant. This is part of it. You see, unless you go through that, you are off the ground, off the benefits. Okay? Okay. So one has to be congruent, you know, not just mental assent. Oh, yes, you know, I believe in Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. He paid for my sin. Yeah, but that's not enough. Mental assent doesn't do anything. See, doesn't do anything. You see, the point is, spiritually, people cannot see it. Because it's spiritual. But physically, you can see it. When you are in mental assent and you agree, oh, yes, you know, Jesus died for my, you know, paid for, took my sickness and pain, you know, and you don't get the results, evidently, that mental assent. Because otherwise, you get the results. It's not if for but, it's yes, because that's a promise. So the way when you can actually see it physically, then you can determine if you are in mental ascent or not. But when you are not physically be able to determine it, then you can make up stories. Are you following me? So we can be in false security saying, you know, I'm okay, when we aren't okay, because we are really not really, we are just agree with the theory of the theology, but you have not gone through the process that is required to agree with that, which is actually to be in Christ. Okay. Are you following me? There has to be, you know, there is another way, and this is, again, has to do with Easter. You know, there is no resurrection without death. Okay? So there has to be that dying process to the old self to be becoming, experiencing the resurrection in the new life. Okay? The new covenant is a real thing that has effect on both, you know, mind, soul, and spirit. Actually, they will start the other way around. Spirit, mind, and body. Okay? And that has to be manifested in the physical as well. Otherwise, it's only part implemented. We are only taking part of the benefits. So it goes on. So, if anyone is in Christ, okay, he is a new creation. So the new creation is what are we? Our body is not us. It's just our body. It's just the outer shell. Our mind is actually not us, because that changes. What really we are, the new creation, is our spirit. That is a new spirit put inside us, and this is described many times in the Bible. See, I'll put a new spirit, a new heart inside you, a heart that is going to have the law written in it. Okay, so that's what takes place, you know, that there is going to be, okay, a spirit that is new spirit put in us. All things have passed away. You see, that's said it very clearly. All things have passed away. So what things have passed away? You're going to still think the same thing, and you're going to, the body is going to be just as messed up as you were before. So they are not passed away. All right? I mean, that's evident, isn't it? Okay. So that means, you know, that when you're born again, your attitudes, your tendencies, your behavior isn't changed too much. Sometime that may change if you have some understanding, but otherwise it's not going to change. Okay? It says, behold. That means look, take care. You know, that means, you know, that you have to do. All things have become new. I mean, as to say, behold, just says, look at it. Things are new, but really you can, you know, you see somebody's born again. You hardly see sometimes that anything has happened. So you have to really be noticing what takes place. All right? Now all things are of God. You know, if, take the implication of that. Now all things are of God. Evidently, not the old things include your body and your mind, because they haven't changed. He's talking about your real you, which is your spirit. And he puts them there. What you had there in your spirit is not there anymore. It's gone. That spirit is dead. It was dead before, but now it's really off the premises. Hello? Okay? All things are new and are of God. That means God is the one putting the Spirit inside you, and is his job, not yours. It's not nothing that you had before is still there in your spirit. In your mind, absolutely. In your body, for sure. Just look at yourself. All right? Are you following me? I mean, this is so clear. All things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself. Okay? This is, has reconciled is past tense. I will always say, look at the tense. See, it's happened already. Once you are born again, you are reconciled. God, that means, you know, that God is in your spirit. He's connected with you. You are one with him. The things that he put in your spirit is the things that he put in, not the one that you had before that was connected to the devil. So he has reconciled to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. See, again, it's past tense. This is really Jesus' ministry. I mean, that's another thing that, don't tell me, I'm just don't feel called to minister to others. Can you read that? Are you born again? You are lining up with those scriptures, are you? Because you cannot take just a part of it and leave the other away. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So you now have the ministry of reconciliation. That means you have to go and try to get other people reconciled with God, because God is expecting you to do it, because that's why he made you the way you are, because he wants to create an army for himself. He's not trying to make you get a good life. He's trying to make you part of his people, taking over the world. Okay? So, where are we? Yeah, 19. God has, again, past tense, in Christ, reconciled the world to himself. So you can take the scriptures and reconcile the world to himself. That means, you know, everybody's reconciled. You have to take that out of context with everything else. Okay? He's not saying that. You know, only those that apply Jesus' blood to their life and repented of their sins, they won't change. Not implying the trespasses of them, and has committed us the word of reconciliation. You see, again, this is making sure that we get it. I mean, he just doesn't say it once, they say it twice. So our job is to, you know, to bring others to him. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. I mean, the ambassadors means, you know, we are representative. We go, you know, the ambassador going in the country, they represent the country. They say, you know, they are the country, because wherever they go, they are the country in that place. Okay? So when we are ambassador of Christ, that means we are Christ in that place as we go, because he's inside us, and so he works in us. And our job is to be his representative. So that's why what means to come in Jesus' name, you know, or in the name of Jesus, in the name of Christ, is not just a formula. It's a position that we have. It's a job description for us. Okay. We are ambassador of Christ as though God were pleading or begging through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. See, that's the part that we should play and bring people to recognize, you know, be reconciled to God. How do they do that? Well, the way we did it before, okay? We believed what he is, who Jesus was, we repent, and we obey. See, all those things, and this is our job, is to bring people through that process. Okay. Now, you know, how many actually come into the fullness of that experience? How many even know that this is required of them? Hello? Why? Because they read only the first verses. They don't read the whole thing. You have to take the whole context. You cannot sort out the Bible in the verses that they are comfortable for you and just eliminate the other ones that aren't, because it doesn't work. You are not going to experience anything. You have to take the whole thing, the things that taste good and the things that are a bit bitter. Because and it's the only reason why it's bitter is not because it's bitter, really. It's because you are attached to other things. Your passions are bringing you somewhere else. All right? Because when you really taste it, you taste and know that the Lord is good. No matter what it is asking you, is always better than anything else. All right. For he made him who knew no sin, verse 21, 5:21, to be sin for us that we may become the righteousness of God in him. Everybody quoted the scripture because they take it out of context and say, well, you see, you know, I made Jesus my Savior, so I'm the righteousness of God. That's not what it's saying. What it's saying is that when you are done that, you know, you are going to be righteous. Your behavior is going to be righteous. It's going to change the way you do things. It's going to change the way you look outside. It's going to change that people are going to look at you and say, oh, this is a righteous person. Not because you go around pious. It's because you just are his representative and he walked like he walked. The scripture that my wife said before, you know, you do unto others what you would like others to do unto you. Okay? Not necessarily what they want, you want them to do to them. Because sometimes it's not the right thing. Are you following me? So you see, realizing this, okay, put us a big responsibility on us to fulfill the reality and become the people that we actually are. And overcome the limitation and the resistance that we have because of the things of the world that still are attached to us, the old things that are not completely dead inside, that are left over of the old man, because they are not in our spirit, they are in our mind and in our body. And we have to break those bondages to make ourselves free. You see, it's a question of deciding. The same decision that you do spiritually to break through from sin, okay, that has to do when you accept Jesus as Lord and you repent, you know, you have to apply, as you apply that principle and progress in all the different areas, from your mind and your thinking, and you reject the thinking that you had before, and you accept the word, what the word says, and you accept the fact that, you know, the devil doesn't have the right to keep you sick because Jesus already died, you know, and took your sickness on yourself. You know, then you can go to start appropriating what you have by the same decision, by the same process by which your sins were forgiven. There is no difference between the physical and the spiritual. Because all these things are spiritual. And Jesus proved it and demonstrated that very clearly in one case in which, there was this lame there, and he said, you know, your sins are forgiven. And he did it on purpose because there were Pharisees around. And they were scandalized. Ah, no man can forgive our sins. Said who? The Pharisees. He could. And I think I tell you that more. We too. As Jesus represented it. And then because they are so scandalized, I said, well, to prove that man can forgive sin, stand up and walk and take your bed away. And then they, you know, I mean, they couldn't say anything about that because it was done before, but, it's Sabbath. Somebody doing work on Sabbath day. I mean, I'm not going to go into all the detail and read all the scripture about that because, what I'm trying to get across to you is that when we understand what took place the day when we were born again, and we start realizing that what took place and start taking steps to appropriate that reality, to start believing. You know, start with the believing, not start agreeing the theology. Start believing that that's true and start seeing, you know, the things it implies for you to do. Then things are going to start to happen in you. And God is not there, as I said before, that because you are not perfect, you know, you are off the picture. We are all in, construction site. All right? I mean, this, nobody's perfect. All right? Jesus is, but nobody else. You don't even look at the apostles in the Bible, because they were imperfect either. You know, people start to, you know, idolize them, and instead, you know, they're just human. And if you can read the Bible properly, you can see they were human and made mistakes. Many mistakes. Okay? So the idea is, you know, you make a mistake, it's not a big deal. Don't put yourself down because you made a mistake, but be sensitive. Let the word minister to you so that you can be cleansed. Once you realize something, you apply, you know, 1 John 1:9. You know, it says you confess your sin and he's faithful and just to forgive you and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Cleanse you. That means he's going to scrub off all the junk inside you. And you trust him instead of when you realize something goes wrong, something you did wrong, instead of running away from God, you just run to God because you need him more. Okay, that's the time when you actually need to break through. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. I think that that's it for today. You get anything?
Yes.
See, the key thing is really to get to the place in which we start. We're just starting to scratch the surface about this. And, you know, next week we are not going, you know, evidently it's something else, but we're going to take over later and are going to expand on this. When you realize that and you start lining up with that, you know, and you start looking the way what the Word says about you, as you're looking in a mirror and you see, you know, wait a minute, you know, it doesn't look like me. Okay? It doesn't look like me in this area. I mean, it doesn't matter who was that was used by God in the past, that you know, what they call big men of God. They just had mistakes. They may just mess it up many times. So you don't need to be perfect, but you have to have your conscience sensitive to be able to hear what God is saying to you, so that you can progress. Instead of the enemy work is to deceive you, to make you do the wrong thing and separate you from God. And if you progress on that, you lose everything. Okay? There is no once saved, always saved. You know, Adam was saved and he lost it. Okay? We can do the same if we stay. The Bible's full of description about that. God's plan is for us to go all the way. Praise the Lord, in the right direction. Amen?
Amen?
Praise God. All right, I want to just say a little confession of faith. Amen?
Amen.
Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Father.
For
the things that you did for us.
For Lord,
is much more than we can ever think. And I can imagine. Lord, you made possible for us to grow, to be like Jesus, to do the same work that he did, and to be used by you to reach to others and to expand your kingdom. I just thank you for all the benefits that even now I can receive. By your word, I'm set free. By your word, I'm washed, cleansed from sin. By your word, I'm healed from head to toe. By your word, I'm changed and transformed into the image of the Son. I thank you for everything. And I, Lord, want to receive everything that Jesus did for me. In Jesus' name I pray. And I believe it. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord.